How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I'm your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to talk, mixed pot here. There's one national story I wanted to talk about, mainly local stuff, but there were a couple football stories to talk about as well, so we'll just knock the football ones out of the way here. So Shedeur Sanders has been promoted to the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. So he's going to get his first career start this coming Sunday. Don't know why I said Wednesday, but I don't know how I feel necessarily. I mean, the worst comes to worst, the Browns lose. I mean, they're 2-8. I mean, their season's not going anywhere. I see no reason as to why you wouldn't put Shedeur in. I mean, you might as well see what he's got going for him. Dylan Gabriel did get hurt last game. I mean, he was doing well. I mean, he went 7 for 10 for 68 yards. Sorry, I laughed. I saw Shedeur's stats. 7 for 10 for 68 yards. It's a valid stat line. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, 7 for 10, and you're throwing 70%. I mean, he got hurt, like I said. So that's why he got taken out of the game. Shedeur Sanders, when he came in, he threw 4 for 16 for 47 yards. So he was throwing the ball downfield, it seems like. Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess they have about the same, yardage. But he also did throw a sack. I'm not too hyped about... I don't know. I'm not going to lie to you. I was pretty excited when Shedeur got his first chance to play against the Ravens. Ravens defense is a rough defense to get your first start against. I'll give you that one. I mean, I don't know. They're kind of fake. I'm not gonna lie to you. I mean, they're super expensive and they have a lot of big name players. But like, I mean, like they have Jaire Alexander, but he got hurt. I mean, like a lot of their players are old or injury prone. And when I say old, I mean like 28. They're just not in their prime anymore. So they have a lot of big names and they paid a lot. But I mean, so did the Steelers. And look at the Steelers defense. They're also, imposters. But yeah, so Shedeur got his first chance to play. Didn't do all that well. Quinshon is doing incredible though. I'm a big fan of Quinshon Judkins. He's doing great. Same thing with Travion Henderson. He's doing well as well. He's doing well also. But yeah, so good luck to Shedeur, and hopefully the man puts up like 35 points for the Browns next week. And I don't see it happening, but they just don't have any weapons really. I like, Fannin Jr., but he's not Gronk by early, like he's not, Travis Kelce prime Gronk. He's not that. So there's that. Also Trump has seemed to get himself wrapped up in football. He went to the Commanders Bills. I don't remember who they were playing. He went to a Commanders game cuz, Washington Commanders. So he was on the TV there, but after that he said on the Pat McAfee show that I hate the kickoff in football. I think it's so terrible. I think it's so demeaning. I think it hurts the game. It hurts the pageantry. I've told that to Roger Goodell, and I think it. And I don't think it's any safer. I mean, you still have guys crashing into each other. It's the opposite of what the game. The ball is in the air. Nobody's moving. It's supposed to be. When the ball is in the air, when the ball is played, you're supposed to be moving. The pageantry of the game is hurt so badly. That's the quote. Long, it just seems like a big circle, kind of, but anyways. So there's that. He got a lot of Trump got a lot of backlash for that, and one of the coaches from the Chiefs, the special teams coach, even said that he doesn't even know what he's looking at. He has no idea what's going on with the kickoff rule. And take that for what it's worth, and I hope he hears it. Now, I'll be 100 with you. I'll agree with Donald Trump on this one. I'm not a big fan of the new kickoff, personally. I like the old school kickoff, but that's probably just because I'm not a people don't like change. I mean, the return rate has gone up. I mean, there's more yards on the kickoff and things like that. There's legitimate stats to prove that this is a more... effective, at least in terms of giving yards. I mean, it's supposed to be more exciting because it increases the probability of returns. But I don't know. I think the old kickoff was better, personally. I mean, there was a lot of fair catches, but, I mean, also, like, you get, like, the ball gets put on, like, the 30 now, some, like, it's, I don't know, it's weird. I mean, I remember that, you know, the ball used to get put at the 20, and then you'd always run, and you'd get to the 25, so you'd get 5 yards for the return, pretty much. I mean, that's, you know, everybody always got to the 25. And then they made it the 25-yard line, and then everybody just started fair catching it. And now it's the 30-yard line. Like, they just keep moving the ball for, like, I don't know. It's just, I think they should go back to the 20-yard line and make people return the ball. Now, I mean, you know, I think they could make the kickoff a little safer. I don't think this was the way to go about making the kickoff safer, but I don't know how you go about making the kickoff safer if you have people full speed while you just get the ball, getting ready to, you know, hit you. But, I don't know. Personally, I like the old kickoff better. So, yeah. There's that. And, well, I guess this one, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's sports. Like, I don't know. There's a World Fencing League now. I don't know, you know, fencing, the long, thin swords. Olympic fencer Miles Chanley Watson is creating a fencing league. I mean, I don't know. I thought there was already a fencing league. I don't know how you become a professional fencer if there's not a fencing league. I mean, you gotta. I figure there's competitions, I guess. But so, I mean, that's pretty much that. Yeah. So, with that being said, now we can, I guess. Where's the? Oh, right, I saved it as the AP. Marjorie Taylor Greene has said that she is not going to run again. She posted a 10-minute video online saying that she was going to be resigning on January the 5th, 2026. Yeah, and I think that's rather interesting, seeing as recently she had been, disowned by Donald Trump. Trump branded her as a traitor and wacky and said he would endorse a challenger to run against her for re-election. Obviously, I guess she... I don't know. I don't know why she dropped out. I mean, maybe Trump did said something to her, maybe. I don't know. I know that the White House has not responded for a comment, or has not given a comment yet. At least to the AP. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it didn't necessarily surprise me, I guess. I mean, she doesn't have any base alongside, I don't know, moderates. The only base I feel she had was the Trump base, and Trump disowned her. So, fair enough, I guess. So, yeah. Well, there's that. By the way, if you have anything to say, feel free to call in 740-383-9944. I know we haven't talked about much yet, but... Okay, so... And with, well, I guess we can talk about the Larry Summers Epstein connection real fast. So Larry Summers got in trouble for being in contact with Jeffrey Epstein well up until the point, I guess, where he was arrested in 2020, I guess. I think 2020, maybe. 2019, perhaps. But anyways, they were in connection all the way up until then, and he, I guess, made some disparaging comments towards women. I don't have any of the quotes, but I do believe one of them was something along the lines of, he had once made a remark about women possessing, you know, half the IQ on the earth, but how they're like over 50% of the population, basically. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. But I think being in connection with Epstein for that long is probably not the greatest idea. I mean, I figure that, you know, by that point you had to know he was under investigation. I mean, I was around at the time, but, you know, I figured you had to know Jeffrey Epstein was under investigation. And he remained in contact with Jeffrey all the way up until he was arrested. Also, we learned today that he went to Epstein Island with his wife on their honeymoon, and also had been on the Epstein's private jet, I think, four times, four separate occasions. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's interesting. I mean, the more you look into the Epstein files, it seems like the more that everybody everybody has connections. Now, I mean, I don't know to what extent. I mean, they, you know, I haven't looked all that deep into them as of currently. You know, I mean, a lot of names come up. You know, Larry Summers, obviously. Trump's name comes up. Obama, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton. There's a couple others I can't think of off the top of my head. But, yeah, so I think that Larry Summers made a poor judgment call there in remaining in contact with Epstein. But, you know, to each their own, I suppose. He is now paying for that. So, lost his job at Harvard, I guess. And also, he was on the OpenAI board, which I found to be fascinating. Now, I didn't know he was on the OpenAI board. I don't know anybody else on the OpenAI board. But I thought that was neat. I don't know in a good or bad way, but I thought it was neat. I don't know if they have been paid yet at this point or not, but city employees, some of them, I guess, is my understanding, according to Jason this morning, had not been paid, not due to the lack of finances or anything, just the funds, I guess, were not transferred to ADP for ADP to transfer them to the bank for payroll, because Martin Watts, the deputy auditor, I guess, there was some confusion, I guess it's where he might have thought it was fraud and felt the need to get in contact with somebody else to talk about that. But I guess they got that figured out. I don't know, like I said, if they have been paid or not as of currently. But at the very least, by Monday, according to Jason, they should, in theory, be paid. I mean, I think that's, you know, rough. But, I guess, you live, you learn, I suppose. Also, we learned that the mayor has, I guess, convened the department heads and you know, asked them to lower their budgets by 10% and to get back with him forward the new budget to whoever by 11/26, you know, so this month. The 26th. I don't know. I mean, 10% across all the departments is a lot of money. I mean, I don't know what the departments look like. I do not have the budget, but I mean, there are a lot of departments that you know could probably use some some more money, and I think taking money out of them is probably going to be detrimental. But I don't know. I mean, I think it'll be hard to cut 10% in all departments without laying some people off. There's that. I mean, I'd like to say that they would find ways to not lay people off, but I don't know that that'd be that'd be a rough undertaking. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much. Well, I mean, 10% across the board in all the administration departments is, I don't know what percentage of the entirety of that budget, but, I mean, that's at least $1 million, I'd say. So, I mean, you're a fifth of the way there, I guess. I don't know. But, so I guess we'll see where that goes, comes Monday. Also, there was some talks of this this morning about whether or not Martin should be fired from the auditor's office. The auditor is not going to, is my understanding, which is, I guess, you know, her prerogative. I guess they had discussed what happened with the payments, and it was, like I said, miscommunication is my understanding. So. So long as they, I guess, get that all sorted out, I think that'll be, you know, rough. I think it won't be. I think it'll be rough if they don't get that sorted out. So there we go. That's probably the better way to put it. Also, it seems as if there's a lack of communication between the auditor and the deputy auditor. So I don't know how the communication is in the entire office, I suppose, but that's not, I guess, a good thing. I mean, also, I feel like there's not very much communication in the city in general. I mean, we've heard in open council meetings before that you know, they don't talk to the auditor, and that they don't talk to the treasurer, and that the treasurer and the auditor don't talk to each other, and that the council doesn't talk to the administration, and things like that. So, I mean, that's not good. I mean, you know, communication's key. You're three different parts of one entity. So you gotta work in tandem to some extent. But, I don't know, we'll see, again, I mean, I guess we'll see where that comes out. But also, I'm interested to see, I think Monday is when they're expecting a, one second. I do believe, yeah. Monday that they should be getting back their financial analysis from the state auditor. I'm interested to see what they say in there. And based on what they find in there, we're going to have to, you know, make a financial recovery plan and a whole bunch of other stuff. I don't know to what extent the state will come in and actually, like, put a lock and key on the city's finances, or if they do that at all. I don't really know how that whole thing works, but I'm interested to see nonetheless. Rough times for the city, though. So unfortunate that they have to be the subject there. But I mean, so long as you, I guess, get the finances back under control at some point or another. In theory, it should be okay. But I don't know that that's, I guess, thought process. So, I mean, I don't know what, I mean, I think that should the city end up talking to each other, it'd be so much better, but I guess you have to get back to, I guess you have to get back to compromise. You know, that's the name of the game in politics. There used to be, I guess, the name of the game in politics. Also, in the meeting, I guess I should probably have started the whole thing off by saying we learned that the budget was proposed to be like at like 19 point something million, so you know, give or take 20. And that the projected revenues were supposed to be 14 point something, a little over, so, you know, give or take. So we're looking at about $5 million deficit there, which is a lot of money. Also, we learned that the investments of the city are down to roughly about $5 million, and we don't even know if $5 million is the right investment, or the right number for the investments. So, you know, $5 million, like I said, rough to come across. But, also we learned that the fire department got put on pause. There was a sewer construction update repairs. I'm not really exactly sure, but that got put on pause, I think, on Prospect Street, if I remember correctly. I don't know what all construction has been put on pause or what all construction there is, but, so yeah, I mean, that's rough. And also, with the fire department, that's particularly rough because there was a, you know, a fire levy that's supposed to pay, or help pay, I guess, for that, loan to build the fire station. Now, it is my understanding that it is obviously not being touched. I don't know what they can and can't use it for. I mean, I figure it has to be fire department related. I mean, I would hope. But, I mean, it's probably good that they get a new fire station, but I don't know when that's going to be built at this point in time. And also, I don't know how long the actual financial recovery plan will take to see throughout its entirety. I mean, I don't know what all is going to be in the financial recovery plan, or whatever exactly they, you know, would like to refer to it as. But, I mean, it's not... I don't think it'll be a quick process. I mean, it'll take at least a couple years, I would think. So, I don't know, 20... I don't know. That's why I think the whole thing will be interesting there. They also got to give the mayor credit. He is trying to get the budget under control, with the 10% deficit, or the 10% lowering of the budgets across the departments. And they got rid of the economic development director, at least until, it won't be funded through 26, so at least until 2027, there will not be an economic development director. But at this point, they've kind of, I guess, dismantled CanDo to some extent, and they've, you don't have the economic development director. So, I don't know to what extent economic development is being done in Marion at this moment. So, I don't know. I think that's interesting. I think it is a rough spot to be in right now. Based on, the finances. It's a rough time to get into local politics. Speaking of local politics, I mean, it's not really local, but, I did feel the need to mention that Tim Ryan has officially said that he's not running for governor, which is upsetting. I'm pretty sure I've said that I would be, supporting Tim Ryan should he have run. He would have been the only gubernatorial candidate with any experience, or any thorough experience, I guess, in politics. I think he was representative for like 15 years, something like that. That's a lot better than 0 years of anything. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but I guess I'll have to end up making some choice sometime. Unfortunate. But, I guess good for Amy Acton. She's officially locked down I guess not yet, but I highly doubt anybody gets in at this point. Tim Ryan was the only real, option. But, so, Amy Acton seemed to lock down the Democratic, primary. But I, kind of expected, I guess. Tim Ryan waited a little long, and you wait that long, and I'm not sure you're gonna get in. I mean, I guess it was inconvenient timing with the government shutdown, but nonetheless, didn't end up working well for him. I guess the quote is very, fairly, mild, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what a good word is. After careful consideration, much prayer and reflection, and after long conversations with my family, my closest friends and advisors, I made the decision to not run for governor in 2026. That's it. I guess I'm sure there's more to a statement than that, but that's the quote that there was in the paper. So, unfortunate. Tim Ryan's not going to get in the race. So, it looks to be that the gubernatorial race is going to be Vivek Ramaswamy versus Amy Acton, and you also have Heather Hill in there as the independent, maybe. She said that she might pick, perhaps, Libertarian or the America Party, is that what... the Musk Party. Elon Musk's new political party. Also, I'm not sure if I've mentioned this story on here before or not, but Chris Novoselic, the bass player, the bass player for Nirvana, actually, they started a political group themselves, Now, I'm not 100% sure really how that whole thing works, but to my understanding, that their rallies are like concerts that bring people. Their rallies are more like actually just concerts, and then they try to sign people up. I don't really understand how that whole thing works, but I thought that was interesting nonetheless. Former bass player for Nirvana. He's been in a couple other bands, but Nirvana's the one, obviously, that he's most known for. So I thought that was interesting. He's gotten into politics in recent times. It's an interesting time. Like I said, if you have anything you would like to add to the conversation, feel free to call in 740-383-9944. We've touched on a lot of stuff today. Shadur playing in his first game. I talked last week about Brian Daboll being fired, which big fan of the firing of Brian Daboll. I was not a fan of Brian Daboll's, as you know, you might be able to tell. Hate to see a man lose his job, but also hate to see a man yell at the team doctor because your quarterback got hurt and now you want him to play again. That's not very good of you. Now, I don't know that that's what happened, I guess. He got fined for going into the blue tent, and now he was just checking on Jackson Dart, which he says he was. I don't even disagree with that, but he, on the sideline, before he even, I don't know if it was before or after he went into the Ted tent, the blue tent, now that I think about it, but he was, he screamed at the team doctor after, he watched, I think Russell Wilson had two drives, two plays, not even two drives, and, Brian Daboll was, you know, already not about it, and proceeded to, yell at the team doctor to get, well, I don't know for sure what the words were, but I'm pretty sure he was yelling at the team doctor to get Jackson Dart back on the field. Which, who, by the way, right now is out with a concussion. And I'm pretty sure he's probably had a concussion, like, the last 3 weeks. I mean, if you've seen the way he gets... I mean, like, he has... I mean, he's gone to the blue tent, by the way, is the concussion protocol. He's gone to the blue tent a lot. So there's that. Also, Cam Scataboo broke his ankle, I do believe, so he's out for season, which ends a great rookie running back season right there. But you'll tend to have that when you have three players on the entire team. Happens. I mean, you know, I don't know, you know, Breece Hall happened to him. And that's why it's always rough to be a good player who goes to a bad team, because you could just very well get hurt, ruin your whole career right there. Now, I'm not saying they're going to ruin their whole career, but I know that Breece Hall was significantly better before his ACL tear, and I know that he has since been injured multiple different times. So, all I'm saying is, should he have not gone to the Jets, he probably would have been a lot better. He also would probably be a lot better if he didn't play for the Jets now, for the sheer fact that the Jets don't have an offensive line. Nor do they really have an offense. I mean, like, they got, I guess, Garrett Wilson, but it's Garrett Wilson. Not to hate on Garrett Wilson. I understand we're big Ohio State people around these parts. But I'm not big on Garrett Wilson. I think Chris Olave is better. And I don't even think Chris Olave is all that great. Now, I'm probably underrating Chris Olave. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't keep up with him. But I know Garrett Wilson's not doing well. And also, speaking of Ohio State players, Justin Fields is the starting quarterback for the Jets. He's going to lose his job, I think, probably. I also think that the Jets' head coach is going to lose his job. But personally, I think that they should fire the entire front. I mean, now, I'm a big fan of starting new. And obviously, you can't start new because you'd have to sell the whole team. So, give or take. But so I don't know if the Jets. I don't know if the Jets have a GM, or I don't know if they have an owner. I mean, sometimes the owner is the GM, which is why I said that. I'm sure they have an owner. The better question is, I don't know if they have a GM or if the owner is the GM. But I would consider hiring a GM if they don't have one, and if they do have one, I'd fire that GM. Get a new GM, and get a whole new front office, get a whole new coaching staff, and I'd give them like 4 years to figure it out. Because, I mean, you can't give coaches like 2 years and then cut them. I mean, it's not really how it works. It takes time to build a team. Unless you're Dan Campbell, I guess. I mean, that man came into the Lions and turned them around, like, instantly. mad respect to Dan Campbell. Big fan of Dan Campbell. Also, big fan of Matt LaFleur. Now, I'm biased there, obviously. I'm a Packers fan, but he came into the Packers when Mike McCarthy was not doing so hot. And it ended up working out well for both of them, honestly. I mean, Mike McCarthy has since been fired again, but he went on to have, you know, very good seasons with the Cowboys. Granted, the Cowboys choke in the playoffs every year, so it was, you know, all for naught. But worked out well, I guess, for both of them. I mean, the Packers haven't gone to a Super Bowl either. I mean, we still get beat in the NFC Championship every time. You know, it's a sad day when you see the Packers get beat by the 49ers for the third time. But, you know, it is what it is, I guess. And also, I think the offense is just inconsistent. Very inconsistent. But, yeah. So, we got about 15 minutes left here. We talked about a lot of stuff. You know, if you have anything you'd like to add to the conversation, feel free to call in at 740-383-9944. Well, been a long day. I love Fridays, though. Fridays are always fun. Where would you rather be on a Friday? Now, I did show up early to the studio this morning. Well, not early, I guess, but I showed up on time this morning. And I did show up early this evening, though. I showed up at, like, 5. Shows don't start until 8:15, obviously. But House of Hunan opens at 5, so I went and got some House of Hunan and came here at 8. So that's, you know, good. House of Hunan's always good. But I don't know what the city is going to do when the Auditor of State comes back and, you know, gives them the fiscal analysis. I don't know how that whole thing's going to play out, but I'm interested nonetheless. I do got to start keeping a journal, though. I have, like, terrible memory loss for some reason. I don't think it's actually memory loss. I think I just have really bad ADHD, most likely. I can't focus. But with that being said, I think that the city is not in the best of spots right now, like I said. Now, by the way, I have been trying to figure out more information about the Browns Stadium. I mean, I have pretty good numbers here, but I was trying to figure out more. There are people who have come out in opposition and in support of, so I'm interested in that. I'm going to try to, you know, see if I can't get one of them to give us more information. So there's that. But no, also at the city council meeting, forgot to mention this, at the end, I think it was matters not on the agenda, the mayor wanted to add a matter to the agenda, I suppose, legislation to the agenda. Oh, gosh, I have hiccups. Which allocated $5,000, or would have, it did not go through, allocated $5,000 for an IT audit. To have a third party coming and do an IT audit. To, I guess, prove that the IT of the city was safe. So, there's that. Did not go through, like I said. I think it was Aaron Rollins. I don't know, it was Aaron Rollins or Ayers Ratliff, one of the two, asked the, I do believe, law director, police chief, and the mayor if there was any evidence of anything. They all said no. So they didn't pass it as the city is in rough financial straits. Also, they still haven't, to my knowledge, given the $25,000 that they allocated for the administration to divvy up how they see, saw fit. I'm not sure how that whole thing's going to happen. I do believe it's coming back to the full council on Monday. Now, it is my understanding that the $25,000 is to be, should it happen, obviously, get donated to the Salvation Army, if I remember correctly, Salvation Army. And in turn, I guess the Salvation Army is supposed to, I guess, distribute that to the people in need as they, I think the mayor said something along the lines of they know the needs in Marion better than, I don't know. But anyways, they know the needs in Marion, I guess, so they say, which, I don't know. I'm not necessarily opposed to the Salvation Army. I don't really know what they do. I'll be 100% with you. I figure it's like a Goodwill kind of thing. But, what I don't know. I guess it depends all on how the legislation works. I mean, if they put legislation on that says it has to be divvied up between, you know, businesses, charities, you know, whatever language they want to put in there, and Marion, and then they give it to them, I mean, I guess maybe, but then you have to hope that the Salvation Army follows through with it. And if you're just going to give the 25 grand to the Salvation Army with the understanding that they're going to give it to people in Marion, I don't really know how that works either. Because at that point, I mean, the Salvation Army could always just take the $25,000 as a donation to themselves. Which would be a little sketchy, I won't lie to you. I would hope that that's not what they would do, but it would not... I mean, I don't know. Anyways, that's just... I don't know, skeptical kind of person, I suppose. But, I mean, I guess there is always still the chance that the vote could get turned down, you know. They could always bring the $25,000 back to the full council, and then they could always vote down the legislation to give the $25,000 to the Salvation Army, and then say something along the lines of, like, well, WIC is already funded, you know, or, not WIC, SNAP. SNAP has already been refunded as the government is opened back up now. But I don't know that that would be great. I don't know that that'd be a good, look, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I guess that depends on what everybody thinks, but it would almost seem a bit like grandstanding. When people needed help, you allocated money to help them, never helped them, and then took it back when they no longer... Which I'm sure that there are still... the homeless shelter. I mean, Scott talked about the homeless shelter a lot. I'm sure that they could use some help. I mean, we got a lot of homeless people around Marion. I mean, you could go to the mall. I mean, I used to spend a lot of time at the mall playing pool with my friends. You could play pool. They're there. I mean, you see them in the Walmart parking lot. Things like that. So, I mean, we do definitely have a presence. And I'm sure, like I said, that they could use the money. I mean, I don't know how many food pantries there are around here, but I'm sure food pantries could use some extra money. I don't know. But I think it's interesting nonetheless, I guess. I think it'd be really interesting should they, like I said, I don't know if deny it's the right word, take it back. I think that'd be interesting. Don't know that it'll look good, like I said, but it'd be interesting. You know, I don't know why exactly. I don't know. The only thing about that legislation that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me is that it was proposed by Ayers Ratliff, but nobody on the council put any real stipulations on the $25,000. I mean, I asked Ayers after the meeting how the $25,000 was going to be divvied up. Should it go to, like, you know, charities and whatnot, or how that would work? And he said that he has no plan for the money and that the $25,000 has been allocated for the mayor, or I guess the administration, he didn't say mayor, but for the administration to do with as they saw fit. So, I don't know what exactly is going to happen with that, and I guess nobody else does either, unless, well, I mean, like I said, right now, the $25,000 is in theory going to go to the Salvation Army, who in theory is going to divvy it up between the people who need it, or the organizations, I think is probably a better way to put it, who need it. But it's going back to full council on Monday, so I think that'll be interesting. Also, I think there should be some good questions on Monday. I mean, at the end of the last council meeting, we learned that there are less cops on the street than there were previously. We learned that there were less firefighters on the street than there were previously. We learned that they have, there were three department heads, that resigned or retired, is my understanding. Their jobs were filled with the deputies, their assistants, and then the assistant role is not being filled. So they're not filling jobs via attrition. And with that 10% budget cut, I mean, that's going to be pretty rough. Now, there are a lot of small departments in the city, and I'm not sure how 10% is going to look. I mean, if you have a budget of, $100, I mean, 10%, would leave you with $90. That $10 probably means quite a bit. But I guess it's all a ratio, but, the bigger the number, the bigger the cut. So I'm interested to see how that whole thing works. I don't know, what exactly is going to be cut as far as the 10%, or to get down 10%, but I'm also curious to what percentage of the deficit cutting the 10% in each department gets us down to. Like, if we're 25% of the way there, I would like to know that. That'd be useful information, I would think. So there's that. If you have anything you'd like to say, feel free to call in. We have about 3 minutes left in the show. It's been an interesting day. We had Jason on this morning. We had Miranda on, last hour. All good stuff. Now, Now, the administration, I guess, is a department, so I don't know how the administration works. Also, there was a question about the, council raises. There we go. And whether or not they will go through. Now, I don't know that now's a good time to get raises. That's all that is, I guess. Also, I guess it's good news that the charter went down, because the city would have been on the hook for paying the lawyers and paying the, whoever they got to do to make sure that whole thing's done correctly. And then they got to print all the paper or the charter in its entirety and send it to all the people in the city. And it would have been a big undertaking that cost a lot of money. But I guess it didn't pass anyways. Also, I wanted to know, I guess this was a while back now, but they didn't release the numbers of the people who, or of the Charter Commission. We don't know how anybody voted there. But I'd be interested to see those numbers as well. It is my understanding that other counties have released charter numbers that have failed. So, the charter fails, they've released the charter commission vote as well, even though it didn't matter. But I would be interested to see those. But I guess that's neither here nor there. They might have released them at this point. I don't know if they did or if they're planning to or what any of that is. But they did not that night anyways. But with that being said, we have about 40 seconds left. We've talked about a lot today. Shadur is getting his first start. That's always good. Dable getting fired. That's always good in my eyes. We talked about the 10% budget cuts. Just about everything that we talked about today. Now, I don't know to what extent, but we, I think, touched on just about everything I wanted to touch on. So, listen to us every Monday through Friday. We are live 24 hours. I appreciate everybody for listening. Have a wonderful night and stay warm.
You're listening to the place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown,